One of the most difficult spiritual concepts for a lot of us to get is that we aren't here by some cosmic fluke, that life is not an accident waiting to trip us up, that you came here to the planet with a divine purpose. Now, you may not sing like Monique. Very few of us do, even on the planet. But you came here with a definite gift and a reason for being here. You are not an accident. You were not plunked here by random choice. You chose to come here to fulfill a divine purpose. You were not born with a physical impairment because of a sin someone committed. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is when the parents came to Jesus and said, "Our son was born blind." Now, whose fault was that? His? What? Or ours? That's one of the reincarnation scriptures they couldn't take out. The council back in 500 whatever took out references to rebirth, but this is the one they couldn't quite work out, and you can see today people skim by it. They don't even think about it. But look at it. Whose fault is it that he was born blind? His? They believed in reincarnation back then. But Jesus said the question is immaterial. He was born blind for the glory of God. In other words, it was part of his path of healing. He came here, he made an agreement before coming to this side that he was going to learn something about being blind. You weren't created with your height or your weight or your physical uniqueness or your sexual orientation as a curse. All of these things are blessings because it makes us uniquely us. It makes us who we are. And we are perfectly expressing just as we are. God did not create anything wrong. God never created a piece of junk, ever. You're perfect as you are. Your racial identity, your national identity is a wonderful component of your individuality. Not what ignorant people think about who and what you are. Your skin color is beautiful as it is. You don't have to do anything but say yes. It's beautiful. If you're very dark, if you're light, if you're brown, if you're red, if you're yellow, or translucent, as I am in the winter. I go translucent white, red. I go back to blue. But it's all divine. Your accent is wonderful, it's musical, it's beautiful, it's you. Never let anybody tell you you have to change your accent. My grandfather had a lovely, light Italian accent, and I shared with my aunt a few years ago how wonderful I thought my grandfather's Italian accent. She had a fit. "He does not have an accent. What are you saying? Take that back." I said, "He had an accent. It was Italian. It was wonderful." There was such shame of being who they were. They didn't even teach my dad or my aunt Italian. They wanted us to be American. And my dad said, "I wish they did teach me Italian. It would have been so wonderful to know that language when I went to Italy." But there was a point when people came here, they had to erase all they were to become American. We don't have to do that anymore. We're celebrating who we are. Every component of who we are is wonderful and perfect. You weren't put here on the planet to suffer. You were not put here to be in pain. You weren't put here to be miserable, to go without prosperity, to go without strength or vitality, or to experience anything but the fullness of God's power as the perfect, complete, whole child of God, just as you are. When you begin to embrace who you are, you begin to see your life change. When you begin to love who you are, miracles begin to occur. Now, of course, we've all come here to this planet with strengths and with what we used to call weakness, but just things we need to work on. Some of us are really good at being physically healthy, not sick a day of our lives, but we can't do relationships. Can't stay with a relationship longer than a few weeks or maybe a few months. Some people are really good at the money thing, but they are always sick. We all have spiritual qualities that are strong and vibrant and other things that we've come to this spiritual gym to work on. Sometimes without even fully knowing what those qualities are we need to work on. But eventually they do show up and we begin to find out what they are. One day a man gave his wife cards and some flowers just because he loved her. And he said to her, "Honey, have you ever been in love before meeting me?" She thought for a moment. She said, "Well, no, not really, never. I once went out with a man I respected for his great intelligence. I admired another guy for his admirable courage during the Gulf War. And I was kind of mesmerized by one guy I dated for a while by his good looks and his charisma. But with you, how else can I explain it but love?" Thanks, honey. Some people do the love thing really well. We all know them, right? They married their childhood sweetheart. They've been married for 95 years. They stay that way for life. Isn't that amazing? I've heard of somebody like that. I've never met them, but I've heard of people like that. In our scripture reading, Jesus was quoting what he believed to be the most important verse in the Bible. And he was quoting from Deuteronomy 5. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Now, as is quoted in scripture that we heard Lewis read earlier, it was a combination of strength and mind, which is together what we call might. In our unity primary affirmation, we hear the very similar idea. There's only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, God the good, period. That's it. One. The ancient teaching for thousands of years have been what they call the Shema. Hear the truth. There is one God, and you shall love God, this one allness, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, with all of who and what we are. With every fiber of our being, we have to know that we are one with God if we are going to let our lives work. That's pretty hard to do, as we have found out here on the planet. How do you love a God you can't see, feel, hear, or experience as real with your senses? It's almost like it just becomes a concept. I love you. You love me? I'm not getting anything. Recently somebody said, how do you listen? How do you hear for this stuff? So I keep turning within a meditation. I'm not getting anything. Has there been a challenge with you too? It's like, oh, I know. Hello? Hello? I love you. Nothing. The truth is 9 out of 10 times or 99 out of 100 times, in meditation, you're not going to hear anything. What you're doing in meditation is setting up the condition. What you're doing is when you are hearing God, what you're doing is you're listening. You're listening for the signs and the clues along the way from your heart. Your heart will tell you the truth. So as you're going along during the day, you're going to hear a whisper or you'll get a sense, this is right or this is not for you or go in this direction. That is what we call listening for God, is hearing and then responding. So what we're looking to do is to open ourselves up to be aware that God is fully present 100% of the time. As a frightened little girl ran to her mother, and the mother says, "Well, let's pray." And the little girl said, "I don't want to pray. I want to talk to a God with skin on." And that's what we want a lot. We want proof. Tangible proof that God is at work, that God is here. You know, later in Deuteronomy, we read, "You shall fear the Lord. You shall serve him and swear by his name." So now I not only have to love God, but be afraid of him. Oh my, what? I was just getting used to the idea that I'm loving God. Now I got to be afraid of him? That doesn't really work for me. And then later in the New Testament it says, perfect love casts out fear. It's like, oh, now what? Would you please make your mind up? What am I supposed to be doing here? It actually really isn't confusing when you know what the words mean. The trouble we have is English translation of a scripture that has gone through five different languages throughout the centuries. What it means by fear God in the Bible really means to find God awesome. To fear means just to go, oh, wow. Wow, look at what God is doing in my life. So it's not being afraid of God in a negative way. It's just being blown away by how amazing and wonderful God truly is. To fear God is to hold in wonder the absolute good that God is, the beauty of God, the joy, the power, the love of God moving through us to bring healing and prosperity and the right and perfect friends and mates and beautiful homes and surrounding and relief from depression and everything else that we've been going through. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made means what the writer is saying here is not that I'm scary. It's that I'm awesome. I am awesome and wonderful. That's what the scripture is saying over and over again. I am awesome and wonderful. Affirm that with me. I am awesome and wonderful. You are. This is the truth of who you are as a spiritual being. You are awesome and wonderful. You're perfect. Again, perfect meaning complete, nothing missing. So when anybody tells you that the Bible says you were born in original sin, ask them to prove it. It's not in there. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you were born in original sin, that you're a worm of the dust. You quote back Psalm 139. I am awesome. I'm not wormy. I'm not dusty. I am awesome and wonderful. I am the light of the world. Jesus says in John 10:34, make sure you memorize this when you have a fundamentalist you have to go home to this Christmas. John 10:34. Memorize it. Tattoo it on your arm. John 10:34 says, what? You are God's. Jesus said it. Ha ha. And watch the sparks fly. It's fun. Because you know you're right. It's wonderful. John 10:34. You are God's, but you forgot. That's what he's saying. You forgot. It says in the Psalms, it says, you are God's. And Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the scribes, you forgot. You just forgot the truth of who you are. So the truth of it is, you love God when you know yourself, when you love yourself, when you treat yourself as God is treating you as well. When you let that love flow, you're opening up the channels of knowing who and what you are. You have to see God in you to be able to see God outside of yourself. You've got to admit and know this being that I am was created perfect by God. You have to love God in another person to see God outside of yourself. We have to let that love flow completely if we want to see God at work. In 1 John 4, the author says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. In other words, if we don't love each other, we don't see God. If we're looking for fault in everybody else, we're not seeing God at all. We can only see God when we are reflecting God. I really want us to understand that today. You can only see God when you yourself are reflecting God and seeing that in everybody else. No matter how they're acting, sometimes we need to step back in divine detachment. But we see them from a distance and say, all right, God's at work here. I need to go somewhere else while they're acting out. But I see God and I behold that in them right now. So immediately following in 2 John 6, we read, and this is love, that we follow his commandment, which we just heard. As you have heard from the beginning, you follow love. So how do you know God? You follow love. You would not know that by hearing on television those who claim to be Christian, and it appears that all they talk about in the Bible is how much God hates gay people. Like, where, I don't see that at all anywhere in my scripture. What I read about a lot is the heart, love, and joy. That's what I see in scripture. What they're talking about on television, I have no knowledge of. That is not in my Bible. That's not anywhere to be found. So we see the core of the work that we're doing on the planet right now to bring forth the awesome and powerful creature that we are is to live in the divine flow of love at all times, as much as possible. Not just after our morning coffee. BC, before coffee. We have to be in the flow of love. If God is good all the time, and if God is love all the time, then I have to live, move, have my being and love as the creation of God, as the creation of love, to grow into my divine perfection, which is of right now my divine potential. How we move from divine potential to divine perfection has been discovered by the greatest spiritual teachers, the gurus, the avatars, and the mystics for centuries. They've been teaching us over and over again, and we have a hard time really getting it. It's very simple, and it's the only way to achieve the fullness of your divine potential. And that is to live, to move, and have the fullness of your being from your heart. Your heart is the core, is the center of who and what you are as a spiritual being. Let there be love on earth, let there be love in me, and then I will begin to see it. Most of us misunderstand what that is. We really have a hard time getting what love really is about. An 8-year-old boy named Gavin said, "People in love hold hands because they want to make sure their rings don't fall off because they paid good money for them." More than 8-year-olds believe that. A 7-year-old boy named David said, "Love will find you even if you keep trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but the girls keep finding me." Author and lecturer Leo Buscaglia once talked about a contest he was asked to judge. The purpose of the contest was to find the most caring child. The winner was a 4-year-old boy whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went over to the man in his yard, climbed on his lap, and just sat there with his head on his chest. A little while later, his mother, when he came back over, his mother asked him what he said to the neighbor, and the little boy said, "Nothing, I just helped him cry." Oh, heart open. Yeah, that's what it's about. It's letting people be. Being heard is one of the most healing things we can do and one of the most loving things we can do. Love is the unconditional power of the universe. That's our unity definition of love, is it's the eternal, unconditional, healing, unchanging power of the universe. It's the glue that holds everything together. And the love of God emanates from our hearts. This is the core of where we're from. Actually, the word core, C-O-R, is a Latin word meaning heart. From that, we have the word courage, which means to come from the heart and not the head. So you have courage to do your life, you're going from what God is guiding you to do, not from what your head is seeing on the planet. This courage means to be out of the heart and into the head. We're always discouraged when we're trying to figure it out with our intellect. This chord means being out of the heart and in disharmony. The heart is the center of our physical being, our emotional being, and our spiritual being. It's the center of divine love within us. And again, the Bible repeats this over and over and over again. So many references to living in the heart. Deuteronomy again says, "Seek God and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart." This is where we find God, right here. In 1 Samuel 16, God sees not as we see, we look on the outer appearance, but God looks at your heart. So what are you believing? This is what the universe is perceiving that we are coming from. Psalm 40 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is in my heart. Proverbs 3:5, one of the most wonderful passages in Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all ways, acknowledge God and God will make straight your path. In other words, don't rely on your intellect trying to figure out what is right for you. Go to your heart and let God do the work. It's already taken care of because your divine plan was already taken care of. Monique knows that. Oh my gosh. So many people here, I see such wonderful talent in our community. And the doubt that I see is so interesting to see anybody doubting such great talent. Like, oh my gosh, if you were outside of yourself and looked at yourself, you would just slap you. In a loving unity way, of course. But it's like, oh my gosh, the talent that you have is astonishing. And the reason why we don't believe it is so many. From what we've been told, about other from other people, from what we're telling ourselves. But if we stood back and looked and see what God is through us, if we really stood back and see what God sees, we would never doubt again. Never. Proverbs 23:7 says, as you think in your heart, so you are. If you think you're not going to succeed, you won't. If you think you don't have a chance, you won't. If you think New York is too hard, it will be. If you think, I'm going to do this regardless of what anybody else says, God bless them, get out of my way, get out of the way. Their heart is leading them perfectly. So what are you thinking in your heart today? What is the truth that you're holding? What is the non-truth that you're holding? To think from the heart means to believe. What do you believe about what life is and what it has to be? Deep down, do you really believe that you deserve a good life? Spirit says you do. You came here to live a good life, a creative life, a joyful life. Do you deserve to be loved by a wonderful man or woman? Right at the beginning, it says, if you want that, it's yours. Do you believe it? Not intellectually, do you think, because we all said, yeah, I think I do, but in your heart, do you believe that there's really this wonderful person waiting for you? Can you really accept in your heart all the prosperity and all the joy that you can handle is waiting for you to say yes and to give it permission to move forth? If you don't believe it, it stays out there. Do you believe that life is meant to be joyful, that life can be pain-free, that life can be debt-free, worry-free, argument-free, conflict-free, addiction-free, sugar-free? Oh, wait a minute. Going a little far there, Paul. As you think in your heart and your soul, you will continue to create over and over again. A lot of us have been creating lack, limitation, loneliness, hardship, unhappiness, the same type of man or woman showing up over and over and over again, maybe different color hair, maybe different height, but they're the same person. Who are you? One time in Silent Unity, somebody called for prayer, and she said, I am so sick of marrying alcoholics. That's a loaded question right there. Well, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and nobody was looking at me, so I decided to say something. You're not supposed to say anything but pray. And I said, all right, where are you meeting these guys? And she says, in the bar that I go to. I said, maybe you'll want to look in a different place. She said, oh my God, you're right. So I prayed and I hung up and I said, you know, I think she would find the one alcoholic wherever she went. Until we change our consciousness about, I have to marry this alcoholic because I need to work through my dad issues. I need to work through this and I need to let it go because it's not serving me. It's not working for me. It's not healthy for me. So what do you believe? Go to your heart and let divine intelligence right there reveal what your next step is in life. The reason we may be blocking the knowledge of how to have that wonderful life can be, I have found in my own life, two reasons. There are two things that are usually in my way when my good is not pouring forth. When I'm doing all the meditation, when I'm doing all the reading, when I'm doing whatever it is I need to do and it's still not working, I have to go to two questions. Number one, where am I not giving? What good am I withholding? And number two, where am I not forgiving? Who am I still resenting in my life? In both cases, we discover that we're what we're doing is not letting the love of God flow forth because of some fear. If I don't let God flow from me, I can't possibly be blessed by the fullness of God's good. I'm pushing God's love away in some way when I'm not giving or not forgiving. If I'm withholding any of the good, it means in my heart, I believe there's not enough good to go around. That God's good is limited, that I'll suffer if I give, that I'll run out of my good if I give of my good. Now, if any of this is part of your belief system, this has to be healed before your good can flow fully. Go to your heart during prayer time and simply ask God, reveal what I need to do. Where do I need to give? When you're giving, most of us have taken the four T's at one time. We give of our time, our talent, our treasure, our financial good, of our material good, of my love. When I'm giving fully and freely, I'm in the flow and I'm receiving. The love of God, when we do that, opens like a floodgate. It's pretty miraculous to take a 4T class and immerse yourself in the giving flow. Then we tend to forget when we are not in the middle of that. We think, oh my God, I have to hold on to it or else I'm going to not have it. Never be afraid of giving your good. It can only be multiplied over and over and over again. If divine law proven over and over by 1,000 years for so many people is true, it's going to be true for you as well. So I invite you to take a look at your life. The very thing that you desire or lacking is the one thing you're probably withholding, is one thing that I'm withholding also. Some people will say, well, you know, I give with abandon. I give my time, I give my talents in volunteering, I give my money and resources to my spiritual community, to my church, where I receive spiritual food, but I'm still broke, I'm still ill, I'm still having relationship nightmares. Why? Why is this happening? What's going on here? Quite often it isn't what we're doing, it's what we're not doing. If we aren't forgiving other people, if we're not forgiving ourselves, we're shutting down, again, the divine flow of love in our lives. If we're giving freely but we're still resenting anybody or anything, we're cutting off the divine flow of God's good. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So what is abundantly in here? What's abundantly popping out of your mouth at all times of the day? Resentment, fear, envy, lack, trash talk about other people. We all do it to some degree until we say, I can't do this anymore. It's not serving me. Or is it peace, plenty, love, joy, and harmony? These are the things, as we're sharing them, will come back 1,000, 1,000,000-fold if we're open and receptive to them. One day after Ronald Reagan was shot, he told his daughter, Patty Davis, that his physical recovery was directly dependent on his ability to forgive John Hinckley. He said, if I'm not willing, if I can't do this, my physical healing is not going to take place. So what are you carrying on your back? Just think about it for a moment. Are you carrying around your ex-husband for hurting you? Are you not forgiving your fifth grade classmate for throwing you in the locker? And how long ago was that? Not forgiving your coworker for getting promoted over you. Not forgiving them is only hurting you. It's not hurting them. Not forgiving your father for kicking you out of the house for being gay is hurting you. You may not want to be around that, but resenting and keeping that energy going is not serving anybody. Not forgiving the child of God who stood you up on that date last week is continuing to keep those you want to date from you. We all know that wonderful saying, not forgiving is like taking poison and hoping the other person dies. Doesn't work. Hasn't worked. We keep trying it, but it doesn't work. We only hurt ourselves. We only shut down our own joy, our own peace, our own good health and our happiness by shutting down the heart, by turning off the love valve. We are cutting ourselves off from the good of God. Yeah, you've been hurt, you've been betrayed, you've been stood up, shot down, shut out, and done in. Welcome to the Taylor Swift support group. We've all been there. But who's continuing to suffer? You. I am. until I say, I've got to get these people out of my life. My back is hurting. I'm carrying around so many people right now. Forgiveness is taking back your power. It's not condoning what the other person did. We're not talking about condoning or letting them off the hook. That's not what it's about. It's about taking your power back to say, I let you go. I let God fill my heart, not resentment, not fear, not revenge, not animosity. Because when those are in your heart, there's no room for God. There's no room for your abundance. There's no room for your healing. One presence and one power is God the good, not the adult, who hurt you when you were 9 or 10. You've got to forgive yourself as well. Maybe most importantly, you've got to let yourself off the hook for what you perceived you did or didn't do. God has never condemned you and never will. Love can never condemn. Divine love is only love. We're the ones blocking that love. So we admit we screwed up. We count it as a spiritual lesson. What did I learn from it? And I move on. I move on to have my good. You've got to give yourself a break. You've got to let yourself off the hook. Let yourself heal by saying, I'm a child of God, and I forgive myself. Okay, that didn't work, and I move on to my good. Great things are happening when you let go and forgive you for what you think you did. So I invite you to breathe in, close your eyes. Let go. Let go of fear. Let go of doubt, resentment. Allow your heart to reveal the power and joy of God already present. Take a breath in. Let love flow from your heart into your body, into your mind, into your life, into your work, into your loved ones, into your home, into every area of life that's important to you. Take this question into the quiet. What do I need to give more of me? What do I need to open up from my heart and let flow forth? Where do I need to forgive? Where do I need to let go and let God do it? Because it isn't working when I try to do it. It's within you right now, so allow the power of love, the voice of love, to reveal it. Breathe into your heart, breathe into that love. Fan it into a roaring fire. Let it move through your mind, your breath, your body, you. I open my heart to love. I open my heart to God. I open my heart to healing. I open my heart to abundance. I open my heart to forgive. My heart is filled with God. Affirm that with me. My heart is filled with God. Breathe in again. My heart is filled with God. One more time. My heart is filled with God. Breathe in and know it. Accept it. Feel it. Love yourself into divine perfection, already present, already who you are. Let's go deeper by singing our meditation song, I Am So Blessed for All That I Have, all that I am, and all that God is. Let go and let God.
Time just to
divine love is always present, always waiting for me to say yes to it, to give it permission to fully flow into my life. I allow God to be love in me. And then I realize this is the truth of who I am. If God is love, then I, God's creation, am divine love expressing here in the flesh. And my work is to love, to be the love of God, to know that when I am truly immersed in love and letting it flow, I can't be hurt. I can't be abused. I am protected by love at all times. Feel that wonderful enveloping presence of love emanating from you right now. Feel its warmth, light, and presence fully at work. In the quiet of your being, I invite you to take love and let it flow into every cell, every tissue of your physical body, into your mind. See the light of love taking hold, healing you, calming you, centering you, bringing forth wholeness. In the quiet, we affirm, the love of God heals my body and mind. I am whole and well. The love of God heals my body and mind. I am whole and well. Let that take hold. As we mentioned earlier, we are truly here with a divine plan. And the divine plan is activated by love within. Love for the gifts of God, love for ourselves, celebrating in joy what we're here to do. And knowing that love is our fuel moving us forth. Our quiet affirmation is, my heart knows my divine plan, and I am successful, happy, and prospered. Abundance is mine. My heart knows my divine plan. I am successful, happy, and prospered. Abundance is mine. Breathe that in. Let the truth of that statement be revealed by the God of your creation. The love of God always guides us perfectly. We know what to do and how to do it. The love and light of God shines away clearly, and all is well. It is not I, but God within that does the work. Let that truth take hold. Know it as your truth. That your God is revealing what you need to do and how to do it. As we enter into the silence just for a few moments, I invite you to take this wonderful truth within. My love of God, myself, and everyone I meet today brings joy, peace, and gratitude into my life. My love of God, myself, and everyone I meet today brings joy, peace, and gratitude into my life. Be still and know I am God.
a breath. And relax. Breathe in. And let go.